So let's just have a word of prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, we exalt thy name this Sabbath morning. We pray that you will deliver us from all of our fears. We thank you that as we give that righteous cry, that you will hear us. You will dispel our fears. We wait patiently for you to hear our cries. So we come in faith this morning, knowing that our prayers will be answered. Your will be done in each one of our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, what an awesome God we are able to serve. And we have the plan of redemption to show it. We see that the Father did his part in giving his Son. We see the Son, Jesus Christ, doing his part, that he suffered and he died, setting us free and giving us back what we lost to Satan. And we will have that reward soon. And now it's up to us to do our part, to accept the Savior's great sacrifice and avail ourselves of the opportunity of eternal life, which our Lord gives us graciously and willingly. He has provided and made it possible for us. We know that we need our Lord, and we pray that our Lord will not leave us. And so as we look at Judges chapter 3, but before we do it, I want to go to a couple other places. First is Judges chapter 20, our scripture meditation, and especially verse 8 or 18, yes. I'm not going to go over the whole story that led up to that verse, but it backs up to chapter 19, where it talks about the Levite and his concubine, and what happened in their life there. Concubine going back to her old way of life and then going to her father's house for a period of time. The Levite going after her to try to bring her back. We see that the father persuades him to stay for 3 days. Then he proceeds that fourth day again. And then again on the fifth day. But we see the Levite refuses to stay, so that him and his concubine leave. And on their journey, they end up staying at Gibeah, a city belonging to the tribe of Benjamin. We see that they got there and they go into the village square. And it's usually the custom for somebody to invite them into their home, but that did not happen till an old man came, and he was not even a Benjamite, came, saw them, and asked them to come into his home. And then a certain men of the city came to the house and requested the owner sends out the Levite so that they could might know him. And that's a familiar story with Lot and his two men that was at his house. Ends up that the Levite sends out his concubine, and we know the story there, what happened. And then when the people of Israel heard it, they wanted to get revenge. They wanted to punish the city and the Benjamites there. But we know that the Benjamites were not willing to give up the men that were responsible for that. And we need to remember in this story here, it's the tribes, all the tribes of Israel that we're talking about. That time and time again, they fought against each other. And at this time, the children of Israel go to the house of God to counsel with him, to ask him which tribe should go first. And we see there in verse 18 that God tells him that Judah should go first. So they prepare and everything else, they go. And the army of Benjamites come out and they slaughter thousands of Israelites. Seems that that didn't truly faze Judah, so again they go to God again to ask, and he tells them to go again. And even that second time, they're defeated. And then that third time, they still go to the Lord. And he tells them to go up and they would be successful. At first, it didn't look like that, but then Israelites were successful. And they're here fighting against brothers. And during that time, God was able to humble the tribes. And they both realized their dependency upon their God. And we know that during the time of the judges, every man did what was right in his eyes. How about today? Isn't that the same? Whatever somebody feels is right, it's okay to go ahead and do it. And they do it. And it seems in many cases that there's no punishment for that. But what the Bible, the Word of God, shows us that time and time again, his chosen people turned away from him instead of towards him. The times that they obeyed, they were prosperous. The times that they disobeyed, we know that they suffered. And it's the same for his people today. We may end up suffering things that we would not have to suffer if we had stayed with our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask God so that we may have a trusting relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we all take different pathways in our lifetime. Many of us change our paths more than once. Some paths are good, some are not. But we know that there's only one pathway for the children of God, to go in that narrow gate and walk that straight road, even though it can fall off at times. But we know that our Jesus is there to pick us up and put us back on the right track. God wants his people to walk in the newness of life. And we don't have to do it alone, as he tells us, as his word does. And with the history of the Hebrew people, because of their constant disobedience, it seems like that God had to stand afar off, and as if he was not able to hear their cries. But then each time they turned back to him, he was able to hear their cries and he helped them. But it does look like that the Hebrew people were not able to learn from their experiences. And do we do ourselves? We always say that we see the past and we haven't even learned yet not to do that. That happens in the past. That only with God could the Hebrew people overcome their enemies. And it's the same for us today to overcome our enemies. And there's many of God's people today, let alone the world, that try to live a life without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, and without the Word of God. And I pray this morning that each one of us has Jesus Christ, has the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in our lives. We need to keep our eyes upon Jesus at all times and not let down our God. But we know the pull of the world is there. Every place, pull here, pull there. Looks good this way, looks good the other way. So we have to be careful. But we know that we have limitations. We have to watch them. We know that we have to have a dependence upon Christ, upon God, the Holy Spirit and his word. Yes, we want the Lord to stay with us always. But as that happened, are there times that God may have to stand afar off that he doesn't hear our cries? But then we turn back to him and he does. He is always there for us. So we need to turn our weaknesses over to God, and each one of us has weaknesses. If you say you don't have any weakness, you're lying to yourself. And he will surely strengthen us in a time of our weakness, in a time of our limitations that we have. Drake, another place I want to turn to is Luke 24. We read this story, chapter 24. Especially verses 13 through 30. Picture the two men on the road to Emmaus after they had been at the tomb Sunday morning. They were not able to see their Savior because he was risen. We see the first part of the chapter where Jesus comforts Mary. And we can see Jesus' pathway that first day after his resurrection. Number one, there he is, comforting Mary at her loss. And then we see the two men walking on the road. Jesus confronts them. Wants to give comfort. He wants to teach these two men. And as read in verse 28 through 30, let's read that again. 28 through 30. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and made as thought he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And then he left them. And then thirdly, we see where he meets with his disciples in the upper room. Also to teach, to comfort, to smooth their pathway, even though they were going to have to suffer. And he wants to walk with each one of us along our pathways that we choose, that he has chosen for us if we walk that pathway. At times we walk our own path, but yet, if we truly love our God and love our Savior, that we will choose a path that he has chosen for us. And it's going to be trying. It's not going to be easy. He's told us that. We're going to have times. There are going to be stumbling blocks before us. But as we stumble, we know that we may fall upon the rock, Jesus Christ. And he will save us. And so we see the story in Judges, in their weaknesses, as in our weaknesses today. And so let's go to Judges chapter 3. And especially looking at verses 10 through 30 in the story there. After Joshua's death and the current generation was gone, the people still had not subdued and run out all the tribes of Canaan as God had requested of them. They intermingled with the tribes. They even took wives from the heathen tribes. And we know that they had to pay the consequences for that. So we see that disobedience does not pay. We know that God is always able to help. As we see here in the story, continued story of the nation of Israel, he allows the kings of Canaan and other nations to subdue at various times. They overrun Israel for a while. Then God takes care of it. And they forget God. Same thing happens over and over again. But each time they went back, God was able to give them relief and rest. And we're talking here, the judges, just some of the judges, start out with Nethal, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah and Barak, Gideon, and I can keep going on that. And different times, 40 years of rest, 80 years of rest, 40 years of rest, and all that. It's all we see there, that what happened is they gave Orthoneal to bring them up before then, and they gave 40 years of rest. And in verse 12, and the children of Israel did again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Time and time again, that evil creeps up there with the people of Israel, the chosen people, the peculiar people that God chose. And he doesn't give us a reason, but he chose Israel to be his peculiar people at that time. Just as he has chosen the Seventh-day Adventist Church to be the peculiar people today. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek and went, smote Israel, possessed the city of palm trees, which was Jericho. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. During these times that they would be taken over, they had their crops made up and they're gone and ready to harvest. And these other people would come in and take their harvest away from them so they wouldn't have proper food to feed their families and things like that. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ahu, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. By him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. And it talks there about the dagger. He would have a dagger there with two edges. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And it says that Eglon was a very fat man, as we see there. Then he tells him he has a secret thing to tell him, and they go in by themselves. And we see Ahud kills the king. He's able to get out undetected. They come there. So we see that God came to their rescue to help them. We have to know and look at the type of people there living then and even living today. The way that God chose to help the people of Israel. How he chooses to help us today. His ways are not our ways. Would we have thought, would the men there have thought to get rid of the king the way that God did? Probably not. We'll see that there. And then verse 28. And he said after them, follow me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan towards Moab and suffered not a man to pass over. And he slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of value, and they escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land rested 80 years. Then he brings up another judge, in that Shamgar. Then chapter 4 and 5, we read about Deborah and Barak. And then as it continues, talks about Gideon and what he did, the amount of men that he finally used to overcome the enemy. They were even willing to make Gideon a king over them, but he said no. But then we also do know that Gideon did make a mistake. He tried to do the work of a priest, and he had to pay that price for that. We see the sins of the people led to oppression. And then God gave them a deliverance as each time they turned to him for help. And it's the same with us today. We turn to our God. We turn to our Lord. He will be there with us because he has told us that he will never leave us. Today we have to be very careful about our choices. for we can easily stray from the path that leads to our Lord Jesus Christ and to eternal life. Our God wants us to have eternal life. And truly, this is what it's all about. With God using the Bible, with using His Word. He saw that by demonstrating sin and righteousness for a period of time, that the world would see the difference. It would know beyond a doubt what was right and what was wrong. And I pray that we have reached that today, know that. And we do ask, knowing that our God is a saving God. And we pray that our Lord will stay with us forever and ever. Our Heavenly Father and our God, we thank Thee that Thou art with us to walk that pathway that You have chosen for us. And we know that when we falter, that You will still be there for us to strengthen us, to give us the encouragement we need to continue on. So be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.